You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Frank Isola, in for Mike Wilbon, who's on assignment.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I bet he's finished 16 of the 18 holes of that particular assignment.
It's a good assignment to have.
He's playing golf. That's what he's doing. He's
with
in
who?
Chicago.
Larry
he's
Fitzgerald.
Playing golf. You know, I don't know with who. I mean, you know, he's probably at Olympia Fields. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's at Shore Acres. Maybe he's at Butler. Who knows? Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. With Wilbon out, Frank Isola and I discuss Peyton Manning as NFL commissioner, the preseason college football poll, and the Padres possibly moving Fernando Tatis Jr. to the outfield. But we begin today with Dak Prescott, even though we are not First Take. Ed Werder of ESPN reports that the Cowboys have, quote, absolutely no concern, unquote, about Prescott being ready for the season opener on Thursday, September 9th at Tampa Bay. Prescott hasn't thrown a real pass since July 28th, resting what is described as a shoulder strain. Frankie, you buying that there's absolutely no concern?
I don't know, Tony. I'm with Troy Aikman on this one. I think they're downplaying it a little bit. In the business we're in, we're supposed to be skeptical. So here you have a guy who suffered a devastating ankle injury in October of last season, hasn't played since then. Now he hasn't thrown a ball, like you said, in a couple of weeks. How can I not be concerned? You gave the guy $160 million, and guess what? I think he'll make it to opening week. But how do we not know if this is going to be become a recurring injury for Dak Prescott? So, yeah, I'm concerned.
So I have all the same feelings that you have. Here's what I know. They are paying this guy $40 million this year and $40
yeah.
million for each of the next 3 years to throw a football. And
yep.
as of right now, he's not throwing a real football. He's currently not doing that. And by currently, I mean I think it's 13 days. All right,
yep.
So there's more to this. He's out 11 games last year, as you say, with a fractured ankle. And now he's got a shoulder strain. Is it possible, does anybody ask the question, that maybe he is injury prone? They have
yeah.
apparently sent him to the Texas Rangers for some sort of evaluation. When you send a football player with a shoulder problem to a baseball team, it comes back needs surgery because every baseball pitcher
right.
needs surgery. So if you say to me, absolutely no concern, I think you're whistling down the wind.
Yeah, when I hear shoulder injury for pitchers and for quarterbacks, it's a concern. And here's the thing about Prescott. His first 4 years in the league, Tony, he was really durable. He did not miss a game. And to your point, this is a big-time leg injury for a guy who likes to get out of the pocket and move. Now you're telling me that he can't throw. So I don't know. Again, week one against New England, against Tampa Bay, like you mentioned, I think he'll be available, but I don't know how he's going to be for the rest of the season. It could become a recurring injury for this guy.
So let's look. Let's say that maybe this has the feel of Indianapolis, where Carson
yeah.
Wentz is not going to be available. And maybe you would ask yourself, well, then who are the backup quarterbacks? Thank you for asking. One guy is named Garrett Gilbert. The other guy is Ben DiNucci, who I recall last year had to be rescued from a game
yeah.
when he had two fumbles and four sacks. You would think that they would get somebody better in there, but maybe, as you say, they just make the assumption that Dak Prescott has been so durable
yeah.
and he will be again. Though, to me, this is a little frightful.
Yeah, and I think in the business we're in, we're supposed to be skeptical about this stuff because the team is always going to downplay an injury. They're never going to say, yeah, we're really, really concerned. We don't know if he'll be there for opening week. Again, I think he'll be there for opening week, but it's got to be a major concern.
So if your business is throwing a ball, whether it's a
yep.
football or a baseball, and your shoulder hurts, ask Matt Harvey what that's like. Ask some pitcher
right.
who can't pitch. Ask them.
Yeah.
So.
That's right. That's the problem. All right. Sticking with football, the praise keeps rolling in for Peyton Manning's Hall of Fame enshrinement speech. In a new column, Charles Robinson of Yahoo wonders whether Manning could be a candidate to be the future NFL commissioner. Manning's own agent even floated the possibility a couple of years ago. Could you actually see Manning serving as NFL commissioner, Tony?
I could. I've been saying that on this show for a few years. I mean, I always thought that he made sense. Look, let's look at him. Peyton Manning, and I've had the occasion to be around him over a long period of time in different venues. He is, of all the athletes I've ever met, he is quicker and better to judge the temperature of a room than anyone I have met, all different kinds of rooms. He's smart, he's funny, he's obviously a leader. I believe that the owners could even respect him, even though he is a former player, and I believe that he wouldn't necessarily be a puppet. He loves football, and as you heard in that speech, he's going to defend football. But, and there's always a but, I was talking this morning on my podcast to Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports, and he said that he saw Manning more like a Derek Jeter figure, somebody that get involved in ownership and then running a team. He says at the core of Manning is a competitor. He wants to play for one team and beat all the other teams. And Jason wasn't sure, because when you're a commissioner, you got to root for all 32. He wasn't sure that was in Manning's DNA to do something like that. I mean, he also pointed out that Manning lives in Denver now. That's the last team that he played for. Yep. Won a Super Bowl there. I think went to two, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And Jason was saying he thought in the next couple of years the Broncos could come up for sale, and that would be a perfect circumstance for Peyton Manning.
Yeah, kind of like Michael Jordan, also John Elway, his former boss. You know, it's funny, when I listen to that speech, I'm thinking, well, he must know a Washington insider who could write a good speech. I'm thinking maybe he contacted you. How good was the speech? When he said, you know, we have a responsibility, you know, for the integrity of the game, from the corner playgrounds to the, you know, the celebrated stadiums. Then he had a great line here where he said, you know, I think we need the league to thrive for another year, another decade, another generation. All that was missing was him kind of talking like this. He was either running for senator or he was talking to fellow owners, business people involved in the NFL, and even the players. I think he's the one guy that can. He has that kind of personality. And to your point, when he walks into a room, he has that about him where I think he could command it. But we also know this, Tony. In the NFL, they like to promote from within. He's a bit of an outsider when it comes to the NFL league office.
Yes, but he's also in the Manning family, which is the first family of football. I don't know what his business sense is. I have no idea about that. But you can hire business guys to help
you.
And you can hire lawyers to help you. And you can hire PR guys to help you. What you can't necessarily hire is a charismatic former player beloved by fans of a particular sport who's actually smart. Right? Yeah. So if that's what you're looking for, Peyton Manning is somebody that you have to consider. We'll stay with football, but college football. The coach's preseason college football poll dropped today. Defending champion Alabama is ranked number one, Clemson number two, Oklahoma number three, Ohio State number four, Georgia number five. If this seems familiar, it's because this could have been any poll for the last 10 years. Yep. Here's a team you might not have expected this high, Frank. North Carolina is number nine. So, Frank, how confident are you that the final poll will look like the preseason one?
I'm pretty confident it's going to look relatively the same. By the way, another basketball school in the top 17, Indiana. How about them? A traditional basketball school cracks it. And the Sun Belt Conference has two teams, Louisiana Lafayette and also Coastal Carolina, which is pretty cool. This is, we love college football, but you have to admit, it does become a bit repetitive. It's the same teams, and we enjoy watching them play. That's why I think if they ever get around to a playoff where you can get some of these other teams in there, a team like Cincinnati that comes in at number 10, maybe you'll get one or two upsets. But guess what? When the dust settles, Tony, I expect to see Alabama and Ohio State there just about every other year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think these guys get it right all the time. Yeah. Football is more predictable than basketball. The last year, I mean, I think they get 6 out of 10 right almost all the time. Last year, they got 7 out of 10 right, including the top three. So I would not bet against them. The notes that I took is what's interesting about the college football season this year is Ohio State and Clemson and Alabama all have new quarterbacks. Their quarterbacks went in the first round of the draft. They're all starting new guys, and they're going to be rich guys as well. Because what is the greatest opportunity in the world? To be, I don't know, the starting quarterback at Alabama in the first year of name, image, and likeness?
Yes,
this kid is possibly going to make more money at Alabama than he ever will in the NFL. I look at this, Frank. I no longer count Oklahoma and Texas is the Big 12. The Big 12 is poisoned meat. It's done. Get it out of here. I count them as SEC schools, even though they don't officially join for like 1,000 years. There are 8 SEC schools in the top 25, 7 in the top 19. So you take them and the 5 Big Ten schools, and you say, let's invite Clemson and let's stop with the nonsense. This is the playoff right now. This is it. So.
By the way, you mentioned SEC and Big Ten. How about Michigan and Auburn? Both not in the top 25. I get it.
Not
it's in. Where you finish. But they're not in to start out. Interesting.
They're not in. Let's take a break. But coming up, the Phillies are in first, but are they really the team to beat in the National League East?
And should the Padres take a chance by moving their all-star shortstop to the outfield?
So the interesting thing to me, the SEC, you don't even get punished if you lose. You know, next year you're expected to be good again. Like you can still, you can get 3 or 4 losses and people think you're a top 10 team. Because it's
the SEC.
Hey,
you get one loss, you're still in the playoffs. One loss. Easily.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, but one of them is fill-in Frank, so I think we all know how this ends. What's first?
Toss-up, more likely to win the NL East, the Phillies, the Braves, or the Mets?
On a personal note, this is very difficult for me because the Nats aren't involved. They were strip-mined a couple of weeks ago. They're going to be lucky to win 10 or 12 more games the rest of the season. So there is a certain amount of disgust with which I talk about this. The Phillies now have officially the easiest schedule of all the remaining games. The Braves have the 6th easiest. The Mets have the 8th hardest. And at one point, Frank, features this unbelievably brutal run of 13 games in a
row
with the Dodgers and the Giants. The Mets are missing DeGrom, who is critical. The Braves are missing Ozuna and Acuna Jr. The Phillies are healthy. Zach Wheeler is pitching great. Bryce Harper is hitting great. People say that the Mets spend a lot of money on players with the new owner. The Phillies spend a lot of money. Their everyday lineup, McCutchen, Gregorius, Harper, Realmuto, Segura, Reese Hoskins. I hate to say this. It looks to me like the Phillies, who haven't been in a playoff since 2011, it looks to me like their path is easiest.
Yeah, it's hard to believe they've missed it that long, especially with the wild card. You mentioned the Mets, and that all starts on Friday, those 13 games against the Giants and the Dodgers. And DeGrom, the whole season has fallen apart. In New York, everyone looked at the Yankees in June and July as a team that was underperforming. Then out of nowhere, the Mets have collapsed. And without DeGrom going to pitch in any of those games against the Dodgers and the Giants, that's a major concern. I'll say this about the Braves. And I understand they lost Acuna to the season-ending knee injury, but they did right away pick up Jock Peterson, who's batting .290 with Atlanta. So he's actually hitting better with Atlanta than he hit for the Cubs. And there is something to be said for a team that knows how to win at this time of year. They've won the division 3 straight years, so something tells me they will find a way to do it. By the way, a lot of pressure on one of your former players in Washington, Bryce Harper, to get it done this year. But Ian Kennedy, that was a good job by Philly, picking up to be the closer.
The only thing that's killing the Phillies at the moment is their bullpen has been dreadful, absolutely dreadful. If that works out, I think that they probably win it. What's next?
Toss up, where should the Padres play Fernando Tatis Jr.? Shortstop or outfield?
Okay, you get a lot less action when you're in the outfield. And if you dive for a ball, most of the time you dive on grass. If you dive in the infield, you dive on dirt and you dive on rocks. He has hurt his shoulder swinging the bat, and he's hurt his shoulder sliding. No matter where you play him, he's still going to swing the bat, and he's still going to slide. I would say that in the short term, maybe you want to put him in the outfield, but not in the long term to me. Frank,
really?
At shortstop, he is a unique player. He is a star player. The star factor is there. The way he plays shortstop made him, in my mind, the most exciting player in the National League. If you put him in the outfield, there's a lot of guys who play like he plays, a lot of guys hit like he hits. So I think in the long term, you want Tatis at shortstop. What I'm hoping for is that the owner of the Padres will say there is absolutely no concern about Tatis's shoulder, because I've heard that already today, and I like the sound of it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. You know, you look at Cal Ripken, Derek Jeter, those were big shortstops, and, you know, that became something in the last 20 years. But remember a name, Robin Yount, when he played for the Brewers, he won MVP at shortstop. They moved him to center field, and he also won MVP. And then he went into the Hall of Fame, and it looked like he was 35 years old. He was one of the youngest-looking guys that ever went into the Hall of Fame. Tatis, they're using him in center and in right field, not in left. In fact, their outfield coach, Wayne Kirby, said, we think he has too much arm to play left field. But I don't know. I think it's something that they should consider because he plays all out all the time. He's already been on the injured list three times this season already with the shoulder injury. So you have to protect that investment.
It's not unprecedented. Mookie Betts started as an infielder.
That's right.
You know, and then went to the outfield.
Second
so he's
base,
a great
yep.
player. It can be done. It is protective, but the star factor, I think, it's short. That's it.
Yep.
Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Packers explain where we're about to see a whole lot of Jordan Love.
And Tony's guy, Lionel Messi, gets a hero's welcome in Paris. Bonjour.
It just seems like he went from Barcelona to Paris in 15 seconds.
He
thinks he doesn't protest too much. Yeah, I am.
You might be onto something.
He took the money, didn't he? He took the money.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Happy time, people. Happy 88th birthday, Rocky Colavito. History lesson, kids. Colavito played 14 seasons, mostly for the Cleveland Indians and Detroit Tigers in the 1950s and 60s. Colavito played in 9 All-Star games. He had 374 home runs, including 11 consecutive seasons of 20 or more home runs. In the 5 seasons from 1958 through 1962, Colavito's 200 home runs were more than any player in baseball. Colavito's greatest single game was in 1959, when he had 4 consecutive home runs against the Baltimore Orioles. Only 6 other players have ever hit 4 in a row. Colavito was also an excellent outfielder with a hose for an arm. The statue of Colavito is due to be dedicated today in Cleveland. Rocky Colavito is one of those players who falls between the cracks in terms of the Hall of Fame, and that's why they have the Golden Days Era Committee, to see if on further review, somebody gets in.
Yeah, not a bad idea. Grew up a DiMaggio fan. His last year in baseball, 68, played for the Yankees. By the way, from the Bronx, he went to Roosevelt High School, same high school, Jimmy Dynamite Walker, Chaz Palminteri. Figured you might like that. couple of actors.
No, I do. I can't get enough of Bronx stuff. I mean, I can't. Not so happy anniversary, Gardner Minshew. Around this day 2 years ago, the then unknown Jaguars rookie bobbled a snap in his first preseason game, and he got blasted by Ravens linebacker Kenny Young. Minshew lost his helmet and his mouthpiece, but he held on to the ball. Minshew stayed the course, eventually became the starting quarterback that year when Nick Foles got hurt. Minshew started the first 7 games last year as well before a thumb injury benched him. Now, it is expected that Minshew will be beaten out this year by number one overall draft pick Trevor Lawrence. But here is what Minshew has to say, and I'm quoting. Anytime you go into anything thinking that losing or second best is an option, that's what you're going to get. It's like when Cortez landed in Veracruz with 600 dudes trying to take the Aztec Empire. You know what Cortez said? He said, burn the boats. We're going back in their boats, unquote.
It's funny that you use that quote because there's always a story about Pat Riley talking to the Knicks before a big game against the Chicago Bulls, and that's what he talked about. And then I think it was Michael Jordan who probably burned the boats because the Knicks never beat Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Never.
No, of course not. No, keep your boats. You're going to need them to go back after Jordan beats you. Happy trails to 4 saves, but not the win for the Yankees. The Yankees finally beat the Royals last night 8-6 in 11 innings in the first Major League game ever where both teams scored in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th innings. Both teams. 4 different Yankee relievers blew saves. That happened only once before to the Astros in 1995. Jonathan Loaisiga blew a 1-0 lead in the 7th. Chad Green blew a 2-1 lead in the 8th. Zach Britton blew a 3-2 lead in the 9th, and Clay Holmes blew a 5-3 lead in the 10th, but still ended up with the win. The game was 0-0 after 6. It ended up 8-6 after DJ LeMahieu and Brett Gardner roped RBI hits in the top of the 11th. Excuse me, Wandy Peralta finally got the Yankees out of an inning without blowing the save, but he allowed a run, and he faced the potential winning run at the plate before inducing a groundout. This is a quote from Brett Gardner. It's one of those games you don't see very often, unquote. Yeah, like never.
Yeah, you watch baseball long enough, you're going to see just about everything. By the way, that's 4 blown saves for the Yankees. Here's another number, because I watched this game. 4 hours, 52 minutes that game took. That was a long game. Almost 5 hours.
It is hard to believe, because it's obviously never happened, to score in this, both teams, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. The guys on the other team are going, what? Let's get out of here. This is insane. Let's go to the big finish. Luka Doncic agreed to a 5-year, $207 million Supermax deal with the Mavs. How's that going to work out?
And now the goal will be to build players around him. That could be the first of 4 $200 million contracts for Luka.
Wow.
Incredible. Jordan Love will start and take the majority of the snaps for the Packers in their preseason opener. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is not going to play in exhibition games. A lot of people want to see if Jordan Love's any good. Aaron Rodgers probably among them. If Jordan Love is good, maybe Aaron Rodgers gets a little earlier slide out of the Packers. Lionel Messi arrived in Paris after agreeing to a 2-year deal with Paris Saint-Germain. Your thoughts?
Well, I know you were looking for super teams, so they have Neymar, they have Mbappe, they added Sergio Ramos, they added the Italian goalie, Donnarumma. By the way, Messi's going to wear number 30, Tony. That was the number he wore when he broke in with Barcelona. Eloy Jimenez of the White Sox has had back-to-back 2 home run, 5 RBI games. Are you impressed?
So I watched the Cubs game and I watched the Twins game last night. The guy knocks the cover off the ball. It's tremendous. Last one, Red Sox and Rays. They start a 3-game series tonight. Is that a big deal?
How about the job the Rays organization has done? They're up 4 games in the AL East. By the way, Yankees are 16-7 since the break. Watch out for them.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Frank Isola. Thanks for watching. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
Shouldn't they mention your podcast and my podcast as well?
Yes.
Chris and Lorraine.
Mention it.
Shout out. Chris and Lorraine.